Acts chapter 28, Paul on Malta. And when we'd escaped, this is from the shipwreck, then we knew that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper, a snake, came out because of the heat and fastened itself onto his hand. So there he was, an old man who'd been beaten up and who was not in the best of health and probably lost all his clothes as they came ashore. And there he was, an old man, but he was the one who went out gathering the sticks in the cold. So it just shows the real spirit of the man and the spirit of true Christianity. Now, vipers hibernate. They go to sleep in the winter. And so this snake would have been there, lying sort of frozen, as it were, looking like a snake. And if Paul had problems with his eyes, because he says to the Galatians, I know you'd have been willing to give me your eyes, which rather implies that he had a problem with his eyes. So he picked it up, thinking it was a stick. But the heat of the fire made the snake come alive. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to each other, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped from the sea, yet justice has not permitted to live. Well, he was a murderer. He had killed Christians when he was younger. However, he shook off the creature into the fire and was unharmed. But they expected that he would have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But when they waited a long time in expectation and saw nothing amiss come to him, their minds and said that he was a god. So, what that means then is that he had the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the first century, they could do miracles and miraculous things by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one of them was that they could speak in other languages, and another was that they could pick up snakes and not be hurt. Now, the Holy Spirit is still active today, but in a different form. We can't do those miracles that they did in those days. And so anyone who thinks they have got those miraculous gifts should be able to do like Paul did, pick up a snake and not get hurt. Now, in the neighbourhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island called Publius. He entertained us very nicely for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery. Paul came into him and prayed, and laying his hands on him, healed him. And when this was done, the rest also that had diseases in the island came and were cured. And they honoured us with many honours, and when we sailed away, they put on the boat such things as we needed. So this strange shipwreck and all the suffering was for various reasons, but one of them was to bring the gospel to this island called Malta. And after 3 months, we set sail on a ship of Alexandria, which had spent the winter on the island. And landing at Syracuse, now Daddy's been to Syracuse and baptized people there in Sicily, we stayed there 3 days, and from there we circled round and arrived at Rhegium, and after 1 day a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli, where we found believers, and were encouraged to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came towards Rome, and from there the brothers, when they heard of us, came to meet us as far as the market of Appia and the Three Taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. So this is the meaning of Christian fellowship, that if you're a brother or sister in Rome, and on the way you will come out as far as you can to the next town to meet him. And that encouraged Paul, because if we're going to live forever together, then that creates a very special bond between us in this life. What's so sad is that it so often goes wrong, and it went wrong in Paul's life, because it seems that once he settled in at Rome, he didn't have a very good relationship with the church at Rome, because when he's about to die, he writes to Timothy in the 2nd of Timothy, chapter 4, and he says, only Luke is with me. And it seems that nobody stood up for him when he had his trials before, well, he says, no man stood with me. And so they didn't come through for him, because I guess they figured it was not a good idea to associate with a prisoner. So there's always these problems in Christian fellowship, and yet the ideal is that we do as they did to start with, that, wow, here's another believer who's going to live forever. Oh, immediately we've got something in common, let's be together. When we entered into Rome, and when it says we, this is Luke and Paul, what a loyal friend Luke was to go with Paul all this way. When we entered into Rome, Paul was allowed to live by himself with the set him. So he was probably chained to a different soldier all the time. But that was when he wrote his letters. And those soldiers, it would have been quite a boring job having to be chained to a prisoner for hours on end. They would have probably read what Paul was writing, or he would have told them what he was writing. And it seems from what we read in Philippians that some of those soldiers were baptized. And those soldiers in turn spread the gospel right into the household of Caesar. So this is how we can put the Bible together. A bit from Galatians, a bit from Philippians, a bit from Acts 2 Timothy to get the full picture. So it's amazing how God works. Now, although he was allowed to live in his own rented house at this time, that isn't how it went on all the time, because in 2 Timothy 4, he writes to Timothy and says, I'm about to die. Only Luke is with me. Everybody has deserted me. Can you please bring my cloak, like his big winter jacket? In other words, he was cold in the prison cell. And he says, please bring with me some paper, some parchment. So he was pretty down when he came to his end. He was a man alone. But we haven't got there yet. Luke finishes the account when Paul is still living in his own rented house. So, after 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leaders of the Jews, and when they came together, he said to them, Brothers, though I had nothing against the people or the customs of our fathers, I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, desired to set me free, because there was no cause for putting me to death. But when the Jews spoke against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had something of which to accuse my nation. Therefore, for this reason did I ask you to come and see me and speak. For because of the hope of Israel, I am bound in. And you can imagine him showing them the chain, and probably there would have been the soldiers standing next to him. So the hope of Israel is, as he says earlier, the hope of the promises made to the Jewish fathers. The hope of the kingdom of God was promised to Abraham and to Isaac and Jacob and David, the Jewish fathers. And the hope of Israel is above all the Lord Jesus, who is Israel's Messiah, coming to save Israel and all God's true people and to establish God's kingdom on the earth. Now, Paul had an awfully traumatic journey on the way there to Rome that had taken months. And within 3 days, he asks to see these Jews so he can preach to them. So you see how he was so enthusiastic. He didn't want time to get over the journey. He wanted to be straight away at the work of preaching, like we should be. Well, these Jews said to him, We neither received letters from Judea about you, nor did any of the brothers come here and report or speak any evil of you. But we would like to hear of you what you think. For as concerning this sect, they mean Christianity, it is known to us that everywhere it is spoken against. So everywhere the message of Christianity had gone, but there was much speaking against it. And when they had appointed Paul a day, they came to him into his lodging in great number. So he had a big enough place that he was renting to have a large number of people in it. And he expounded everything, explaining about the kingdom of God and persuading them concerning Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. Some believed the things which were spoken, and some did not believe. So when they didn't agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to Aaron, "Go to this hearing, you shall hear and in no way understand, and seeing you shall see and shall in no way perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should understand with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should repent, and it should heal them." So, when people don't understand, get it, it's not because they're a bit simple. It's because they don't want to understand the gospel. Because the gospel is not difficult to understand. And people say, "Oh, but I don't understand. Oh, it's not clear to me. It's all confusing." Well, you see here why that is. That is because they don't want to understand. "Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear." When Paul had said these words, the Jews left, having a big argument among themselves. Paul stayed 2 whole years in his own hired house and welcomed all that visited him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Boldness, no one forbidding him. Well, that's how it was at that time. Nobody forbade him. But that's where Luke finishes of the apostles. But in 2 Timothy 4, as I said earlier, you've got this different picture of Paul at the end of his life writing to Timothy, urging him to come and see him before Paul dies, and he's clearly in a much different situation. And it does seem that there was this wicked emperor Nero who arose in Rome, and he wanted to kill lots of the Christians because he wanted to blame them for a fire that broke out in Rome, and it seems that he did have Paul killed. And so that's what you get by putting the different parts of the Bible together. But it's a wonderful end to Paul's life, really, that he had kept the faith, as he says in 2 Timothy 4, "I have run a good race, I have kept the faith, I have fought a good fight." Even though, he says, in the end he was forsaken by everybody, and he only had Luke with him. And that's a great testimony to Luke's faith and his kindness and his love, that he stayed with Paul right to the end. And we know from the letter of Philemon, that's another part of the evidence that the detective, as it were, can put together into all this, that while he was in prison, Paul had preached to the other prisoners and had converted and, it seems, baptized Onesimus. And all that indicates the sort of person Paul was, that he was using his bad situation, though he was in prison for at least 2 years in Rome, he used that in order to bring others to the Lord Jesus.